The very first thing I want to talk about is a movie that was released in the year 2000 that some of you may have seen called Pay It Forward. Starred Kevin Spacey and Helen Hunt and Haley Joel Osment, and tells a story of a social studies teacher who inspired his student, Trevor is the young boy, to develop a plan to change the world through random acts of kindness. And the film explores the ripple effect that these acts can have as Trevor's idea of Pay It Forward spreads through the community. Trevor comes up with this plan that he does a good deed for three people, asking them in turn to do the same for another three people, creating what is described as a chain reaction of kindness. Imagine for a moment if we lived in a world that operated like this. How good would it be? I love this phrase, the ripple effect of kindness. Well, as JB has already said, we are still working our way through our series titled One Another, and this is week four. So just a quick recap, we have looked at loving one another, encouraging one another, bearing with one another. And today, as has been said 65 times already, we are talking about being kind to one another. And just a few moments ago, Annette read to us from the scripture, words from the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Ephesians. And in chapter 4, and there's this one verse, which was the last verse that Annette read to us, that I love and committed to memory many years ago. And I often reflect and am reminded of these words that say, be kind and gentle, tender-hearted, one toward another. Forgive others as Christ forgave you. Well, I have to tell you, I have looked high and low this week trying to find this particular translation that I have committed to memory, and I think that it could be the Kylie Collinson version of the Bible. But, you know, it's pretty accurate because what Annette read to us says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. While I would love to live in a world where people carry out random acts of kindness every day, and I think of it as being kind of full of rainbows and lollipops because that's what makes me happy, you know, the type of kindness that Paul is talking about requires us to consider some of our other behaviours, not just being kind. And in these verses, he specifically mentions about telling the truth, about controlling our anger, about being honest at work, and about being kind, not just with our actions, but in the way that we speak. And I have to say, for a long time, I wanted to always skip over these seven verses because it's not as straightforward as doing these things, as telling the truth, as controlling my anger, as speaking good words, as being honest at work, because these ways in which we're being instructed on how to behave actually counteract some behaviours that we may need to change. And all of them really involve our relationships with others. So it starts with this verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. Put off falsehood, or as some commentators would say, do not lie, but rather speak truth. Now, this is not permission to tell someone that, you know, their new haircut is terrible, or that perhaps what they're wearing to church this morning is not good. But rather, as Christians, we should be speaking the truth about the gospel. We are to be avoiding deception, manipulation. We need to be people of integrity, being honest in our words and our actions. The goal of speaking truth to others should actually be to edify or to encourage them, not to tear down or to criticise them. That's one of the behaviours that Paul mentions. The next one says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Note that it says, in your anger, do not sin. It doesn't say, don't get angry. Now, I've shared here before, and if you've had conversation with me, you may know that I use this phrase, holy discontent, or perhaps righteous anger, some people might call it. And I certainly believe that there is a place for what I would also call Christian anger in the world. And I think that this verse actually reiterates this for us. But the big question for me, and has always been, is what are we, what are you, what am I actually getting angry about? And what actions come as the result of this emotion? If you want a fun activity this afternoon, perhaps look up on the internet, Google, the dumbest things that people get angry about. Actually, you may not need to, because here are some of them. People get angry when others eat loudly. I could ask for a show of hands this morning and see how you go with this. People get angry when someone recounts to them a story that they've heard multiple times before. Some people get angry when others talk about the weather. People get angry when other people walk slow in front of them. Some get angry, apparently, when professional sports people are playing bad and their team is losing. That may be some people in my house. Someone said that they get really angry when people speak to them in a whisper, which I thought was very odd. You know, there may be one or two of these that I can relate to, but not all of them. But while I joke about what people get angry about, there is this thing of righteous anger which is very different. Sometimes it can be a deep burning inside that causes you to feel uneasy about something. For some, it may be an injustice that you've seen in the world, and I believe that we've seen some of that and heard some of that this morning with Philippa. You might have this righteous anger that builds up because you're seeing the way that people are being treated. Women, children, new migrants, refugees, young people. Perhaps it's the war or the wars for you. Perhaps it's the housing crisis that we currently are seeing in our country. I actually believe that all of these things need a bit of righteous anger. But like I asked before, what actions are actually coming out of these emotions for you? Is it driving you to take action when you experience this anger? Paul says you can be angry, but don't let your anger cause you to sin or eat away at you. I don't talk about the devil much from the platform. In probably 20 years, I could maybe count a handful of times that I have ever done that. But I think there's so much wisdom in these words from Paul when he says, don't let anger give the devil the opportunity to have the rule over you. Yes, anger is okay, but what is it doing to you and to others? And so we continue on in verse 28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Well, do not steal is the eighth commandment given to Moses. So this would not have been new information for the Ephesians. And I think for Christians and even perhaps people who we would call good people who do not have a faith, that this would go without saying. But stealing can cover many things. Yes, taking people's money or possessions can also include other fraudulent activities, lack of integrity with our own personal finances, borrowing things that never get returned, taking what is not rightfully yours. But once again, this behaviour that Paul is suggesting needs to be corrected doesn't end like this. It helps us then to consider some positive implications. Instead of stealing, work and then give to others in need. Supporting others, family, friends, strangers even, giving to God, being honest in our transactions and our work. Do not steal, but give to others. And then we come to perhaps one of the more challenging verses in this passage that we've read this morning that says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, speech is a wonderful gift from God. And when I think of words that have been spoken, I'm so grateful for the words of others that have been spoken over my life. And I shared some of that just a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about encouraging one another. But there are also words from strangers that can build us up. I've driven up and down to Wollongong a couple of times this week, and when I was driving on Tuesday, I listened to a sermon in the car, which was definitely beneficial for me and helped to build me up. Or what about if you listen to any podcasts, interviews, whether it's on a streaming service, whether you're watching something on television, often these can be of great encouragement. But then, of course, there is the flip side. Words that have been spoken to me, words that I have heard that have been damaging, not just for me, but for others. For some, people have had words spoken to them that have been soul-destroying. I know of people, and I'm sure that some of you will as well, who have walked away from the church, even walked away from the Salvation Army because of the words of others. These are the types of words that Paul is warning us against. Eugene Peterson, the writer of the Message paraphrase, puts it this way. He says, "Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word a gift." A gift that should be used to build people up, not to damage and destroy. And as the Revised Standard Version says, our words should impart grace to those who hear them. I love that phrase, that our words should impart grace to those who hear them. And again, while we have this negative action of unwholesome talk, it's counteracted with this positive phrase of building others up. So what effect are your words having on others? And then just for good measure, if Paul hasn't challenged the Ephesians and us enough, he puts in another list, another reminder of the things that we may need to correct in our lives. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behaviour. That covers quite a lot. But here is this key verse that's taken me all this time to get to. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. I read this week a quote by John Stott that says, "Holiness is not a mystical condition experienced in relation to God. but in isolation from human beings. You cannot be good in a vacuum, but only in the real world of people. I had to think about that a lot this week. How easy would it be to take Paul's advice from these verses of scripture and live lives full of integrity, speaking truth, being honest, not stealing, not getting angry, building others up, all the while continually showing kindness to them, if we actually never had to interact with anybody or leave our own little bubble? I think that then being a Christ follower would be a piece of cake. But Stott says that being holy, perhaps being kind, means behaving in this way in the real world when we are doing life with others. In the original Greek, the phrase "be kind to one another" literally means to keep on becoming kind to one another. It's not a matter of one act of kindness or three, as the movie says, and you're done. It is this continual process. This is not the only time that kindness is spoken about in Scripture. We've said that there are more than 50 one another phrases in the Bible. Well, I want to tell you that kindness, or being kind, is not far behind that. In Galatians 5, we are told that kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says that love is patient, but also that love is kind. In Colossians 3, and I hope this is not a spoiler for next week, but we are encouraged to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And we're instructed to be kind because God is kind. In Psalm 145, we read, "The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness." Being kind to one another involves caring for one another, valuing them, helping them to bear their burdens. Being kind motivates us to speak life and encouragement, being supportive and affirming. It is actually a tangible action that results from compassion. Kindness goes beyond mere words, and it translates into helping and serving others. Is this not the example that God sets for us, being filled with kindness? I follow an author on social media on Instagram, and I think it was on Monday that this was posted, and it says, "There is a stranger out there who still thinks of you because you were kind to them when they really needed it." Never stop being that person. Keep on becoming kind to one another. Never stop. Don't limit your kindness only to people that you know or only to strangers. Show kindness to all. Yes, I want to live in a world where people carry out random acts of kindness every day. But I also want to live in a world and be part of a community where people live and act in a way that is contradictory to so much of what we are seeing around us. As Christians in a community of faith, we are called to live differently. Not in isolation, but in a world as holy and kind people in all our interactions with others.